Y'all ready to get started?
Yes, ma'am.
Let's talk about the capital improvement plan.
Yes, ma'am.
Hold on, just a minute, I'll get those out.
Realize I had put that on, put that phone on that.
Hang on a little more. I'll try. I have to hold that.
Where's the door from here?
Okay, so we're talking about capital improvement.
So far, I'm adding to the money, it's busy every once in a while. I enjoy it. It's not fun anymore, it's never worked. Saying I will.
Don't you dare that.
Well, you got everybody to deal with.
Okay, well, what are you adding?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Are we ready to discuss?
Yes.
Okay, so,
hang on, let's go back and just talk about my budget.
That's what
I said about the websites.
Yes.
I notified the Wanda.
Yes.
You don't have to do your thing, and what you've got to do is you've got to make your website ADA compliant for the blind and the handicapped and hearing impaired and all that. I understand on the other end, if you've got a blind person, they've got to have a computer that's compatible to look up.
They have to have a reader, right.
A reader.
Right.
The cost, I think, is that they got one person, and this is what makes me nervous, got one person that we've been able to talk to that can provide the software that does that. Now, my question is, you go out there and contract with that one provider, and what happens if something happens to you? And you can't maintain it. And he's going to go in and redo your whole website, and I think it's about $5,000 to do ours.
Our quote was $10,000.
Okay, but you got a bigger operation on your website.
Right.
You got all this board stuff and everything.
Right.
And then it's, I think, close to $1,500, $2,000 every year to maintain that website. Mm-hmm. So I guess what you have to do when you add something to the website, you got to go through him to get it put on there. Unless you've got somebody that can actually put it on there. We haven't got that far, but when I was at the last conference, they notified us that about four clerks had lawsuits filed against them for not being in ADA compliance on your websites. So I didn't want to have a lawsuit filed against me about that, so we went ahead and we're starting to do what we need to do to get that done.
So we had a conference call last week with a company and got some preliminary quotes that seemed quite high. In the meantime, what we've done is we have updated our website for with accessibility information for different for Google and Chrome and some of the different browsers that have to be ADA compliant. But after our conference call with this vendor, I asked Teresa to reach out to surrounding counties to talk to Kevin and some of the constitutional officers to see what they were doing.
Right.
With hopes of finding maybe a more a solution that was a little more affordable, because our quote was quite high and it is not in our budget for next year. So that is something we are trying to work through as well, in an attempt to avoid any type of lawsuit. And I have received some information. I believe we've received a letter from South Florida that made me anxious about being ADA compliant, and then of course we've discussed it. So this is a challenge that we are facing as well, and it's unfortunate that our attempt to provide as much information as possible makes us also vulnerable to a lawsuit if we don't meet compliance issues.
Well, you know, obviously it's something that's going to have to be done. Mm-hmm. So you've got two constitutional officers, and I'm sure that the rest of them, and I'm just wondering that if we should be looking at vendors and talking about, okay, we've, we've got this many systems mm-hmm. that we need
Correct.
To try to get a price and everybody be on the same thing mm-hmm. is versus this one doing this one and this one doing this one and this one. Is that how we're going about it?
Well, that's why I asked Teresa to reach out to the other constitutional officers to see what they were doing. Not only to make sure that we understood the requirements, but to see if there would be any benefit as far as pricing.
Yeah.
Well, what I found out when we started checking into it, you know, a lot of my programs is through the Clerks Association.
Uh-huh.
And it's my understanding now this vendor that he's just got through Dixie County mm-hmm. installed it. Mm-hmm. Is the association is talking to him about, because they currently host my website, mm-hmm. the association does, and they are talking to him about making his program a part of the association stuff so we can keep our website with the association and go through that way. It may cost more. But it just scares me to death.
I know.
When we find out that you got one vendor that can provide that stuff in the state of Florida. He's the only one that I know of that we've ever found. And if something, he gets killed in a car wreck, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Or if he don't have somebody that can back it up.
Right.
That's happened to me before.
Right.
So it makes me leery of just going with one individual. You know? And so if he contracts with our association, I'll feel more comfortable with him with us right. doing it that way. But right now, I'm not sure what they're going to do, but we got to move forward.
We do. Mm-hmm. We do.
Yeah.
Is all this state mandate?
It's federal.
Yeah.
It's a federal mandate. Yeah. And I have written down the actual law that mandates this. I did ask the vendor, because my concern is that if we don't buy this product from a vendor, if I don't know what happens to that information, then it just makes me feel very vulnerable. If we don't contract with this vendor, that we're not putting ourselves in a more vulnerable situation because we didn't purchase that product.
There could be data mining issues.
Right.
Another thing that's really putting a lot of hardship on us is, you know, they passed the law mm-hmm. about convicted felons. Mm-hmm. That they can get their rights restored if they meet certain guidelines. Now we're having to do a program with the Department of Corrections. So they notify us, they notify the defendant when he's released from prison, and then public records request is killing us. Because you've got all these people out here in these agencies that want to work with them people and get some money out of it. So you got one here wanting this information, one over here, and it's killing us. I don't know how, but we can't comply with them. So we've got to extract some way to get that information they want.
And I'll tell you, from what I read, they're still talking about trying to have it so that they don't get the rights back until they pay restitution.
Well, they got to pay everything. It's way up the, what they relate to us.
Have they already got it like that, so they have to pay restitution?
Well, to see it, the bill didn't actually address what they had to comply with, but now they've come back and the legislative staff has said that whatever was ordered at sentencing had to be complied with. If they ordered probation, all those things and stuff, they didn't pay it. Restitution is the top where we have a problem because restitution is paid through probation office. And when that person is sent to prison, they send all their records to archives. They didn't notify us how much restitution was left, so a lot of people will fall through the cracks because we don't know how much restitution has not been paid. So they're trying to get it so probation department, when that person goes to prison, or his probation terms and he hasn't paid everything, is to send us a letter and we go in and assess that restitution so those people get their money. So it's just a lot of work there for us to have, for us, them to add us and not one dime to fund it.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm sure I understand.
So, you know, we have a lot of issues.
I'm glad to see that.
Yeah.
Where you got to pay what you pay for and get your voting right back.
Right. I see some hospital people, if they're ready, let's let them come on.
Marsha, will you step on and see if everyone's here and
I
if they're ready?
I think our sheriff's deputy just beforehand.
Be alerted. We're ready when they are.
They're waiting on somebody.
They might be waiting on somebody.
Ask them to come along.
Now, we're meeting again, Lord, the Thursday.
Thursday at 9
o'clock. At 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about some of our departments. You know, or is that comes Thursday, right?
Yes, sir.
The fire department, what
yes,
their
sir.
Needs are, road department. And, okay.
I think everything's been identified within the budget or within your capital improvement plan.
Right.
Anything that is highlighted in yellow within this document is not within the budget and would be an additional request. I would say that a general rule of thumb would be that if the department within this document, if it is listed under local funding and it is not a general fund budget, then we would use 1 cent sales tax, or we would request the use of 1 cent sales tax to fund that capital purchase. We didn't really identify it within this document, but I believe that is what the funds that we use this current fiscal year, and I would say request the same for next fiscal year.
In your budget binder on page 453 is a list of what we currently have budgeted for 1 cent money to pay for.
453?
Yes, sir.
So as an example, the actual breakdown by department starts on page 6, I believe. Hold on, let me double check. Starts on page 6. An actual breakdown of the department and the actual cost of the capital improvement that we're asking for, the capital purchase. And we've tried to plan out for the next 5 years. We will be bringing a 5-year capital improvement plan to the board as well once we get some feedback from the board on these particular requests. And this is an attempt to keep up with our own infrastructure needs. I will say that things like telephone systems, replacement of servers, replacement of HVAC units and chillers, all of these components of your capital request are at the end of their useful lives. So it's not, some of these things are wants and some of these are absolute necessities. But even if you'll look on page 8 under environmental services, we feel like it's necessary to replace compactors, to replace fencing, to replace heavy equipment. We feel like these are all necessities. Under sports complex improvements, I know that the security cameras and solar lighting, now we will be requesting a FERDAP grant for those actual items, but we still left it within the CIP. I would say we can plan some of these improvements for when we secure the funding. The wooden bridge, and it says wooden bridge and office replacement, that's the replacement of the wooden bridges and the decking around the office because of the amount of just natural decay that happens over time. The kennel drain system that you see under animal control, the reason we have a lot of issues with keeping that drain open, and what we're asking for the concrete pad is to help limit some of the trash that goes into the drain because it's just dirt there, and we're trying to help with our drain system that has to be flushed out pretty often. On page 9, under Public Works Capital Improvement, there are the grapple truck is highlighted. That was something that was requested when we went through our strategic planning sessions. We were asked to get pricing for that. I believe that this would help our operations tremendously, having that piece of equipment, especially when it comes to storm cleanup and things like that. Again, under Public Works, that would be 1 cent funding that we would use for that. County Extension, we did add in the parking lot resurfacing. That initial number came in higher than we had really anticipated. So we have not obtained, you know, the quotes or the bids for this. This is, some of these numbers are not absolute. It's just our best guess, with the hope that it would actually come in lower than that. Page 10 is airport infrastructure. At the top part, that funding comes from airport revenue, so that's not necessarily coming out of our general fund reserve. That's airport revenue. Those funds are restricted. Under grants, that is basically grants and their associated matches. And then under Taylor County Jail, they need a replacement chiller, and that's $121,000. Page 11, we have received word that we'll most likely need to replace the HVAC units at the VA clinic and at Steen Hatchie Community Center. And those numbers, are pretty good estimates. The cost to paint the exterior of this building is approximated at $7,000. We will be seeking Dream Grant reimbursement for half of that, but that is first come, first serve, and that's not a guaranteed reimbursement. And then at the bottom of page 11 is just a recap of the departments and the funding source.
Yeah, what I'd like to see, and it is a chart.
Mm-hmm.
It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We have that almost ready.
At the top. Mm-hmm. And then down the left-hand side are the things that you absolutely have to have. And obviously they would be put in quicker. And then the other things, with it maybe an asterisk by something that you just absolutely can't live without. And then that way, it's easy for us to look at it and see if we can do that and budget toward, okay, next year on that list, next year we've got this, this, and this. Just like on this air conditioning system for the community center, It may go out, it may not. Right?
Correct.
Okay, so I mean, they still have an air conditioner.
They do.
And it just probably just has some years on it, right? And
I think it's 25 years old.
Yeah.
But I mean, this
is something that, it may not be this critical right now, but...
Well, the anticipation... Well, and here's the logic that we're using. And we have a five-year draft CIP that we can bring Thursday for the board to review. The concern that we have is if we don't get to the point where we try to get ahead of some of these purchases, the VA clinic, if one day next year the AC goes out and we don't have the funding secured, then we get an emergency situation where they can only go so many days without AC. And we try to make an emergency purchase or ask for money from contingency. So this is really just an effort to plan for things that are, items that are at the end of their life cycle.
Exactly. I understand.
Okay.
But for sure, this year we're looking at what we absolutely got to have. But I like the plan. That's the whole thing. It is a plan for the future so that you can work toward that.
Right.
Now, let me say, on the veterans HVAC replacement, we budget that $7,000. You don't have to spend it.
No.
Until the thing tears up.
That's right.
It may become rollover money.
Correct.
Same as what you need at your community center.
Correct.
Have it in the budget. You can put it here, you can put it in the contingency. Mm-hmm. If you put it here, then you don't have to dip in the contingency later on.
Right.
If it doesn't break, or, you know, don't spend it. You have to.
Right. Well, that gives us an entire year.
An entire year to monitor.
To anticipate. But I will say that, for example, the library roof. We had a set amount of money, worst case scenario, and I know there was some raised eyebrows. Well, is it going to cost $56,000? Well, it didn't. It wasn't anywhere near that, but we had the money in the budget. We were able to, you know, obtain quotes, go through, you know, the best method we can to get the lowest price that we can. It was planned. It wasn't, you know, frantic or last minute. The work's done. And, you know, and the roof wasn't, I mean, it was still there. It was still intact. We just knew it was at the end of its useful life cycle. So rather than trying to eke out another year or two or risk damage from leaking or et cetera, you know, the decision was made to move forward with that roof replacement. So that's the type of logic and the fashion that we use to move forward. So some of these items, no, like our phone system, the phones still ring. You know, we're just at the point where it is has so much age on it that we cannot obtain replacement parts. A lot of the displays don't work. So sometimes it's hard to even know, well, is this somebody calling me from inside, which extension, the display doesn't work. We have to memorize which steps to take to save a voicemail because we don't know which button to push because the screen's blacked out and it doesn't work anymore. Those type of items we would like to replace if possible.
Is that bad? We need to go ahead and replace it.
Yeah, you're in a position to tell us, you know, just like you just did. Sounds like that's something you need to do.
Right.
You know, for me, I don't know if that dump truck is wore out and can't go another 6 months, but you depend on people to, you know, tell you and then pass that information to us.
Right.
But yeah.
So as
so ready? Are y'all ready?
Yes. How much?
You know that phone system would have been in the courthouse.
Oh, yes.
That had to be replaced. Yes. It's been in so long, you couldn't get it replacing parts.
Right.
So me and Mark Wiggins replaced that phone system over there last year, at the end of the year. The courts is on ours. We paid for all that that was over there. Got our budget. And we picked up the funding for all the court system and everything. And I think I've got a total of 32 extensions on my phone line. So at some time or another, what we've got over there now will be to capacity.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll have to do something about it. You know?
Get around it.
Your phone system worked pretty good, the one you got?
Well, we just bugs in it all the time.
Huh?
At the time, it don't work like it's supposed to.
Oh, really?
No.
So we don't want to go that route?
Well, I don't know who the one is talking to, but Fairport, but our. Is that who you're talking to?
That's where we got our you know, placeholder number.
We have trouble with it all the time.
Good morning.
Hello.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I think I may have.
First of all, I'd like to thank you all for having us visit. So, tell me about it. Nice to see you again.
Okay.
First of all, I'd like to thank you all for allowing us to come in and do this presentation and express some of our concerns about the hospital and its financial situation.
report. We want to show, as I said, show you the financial position, share the proposed five-year capital plan, which I think some of y'all, we've had some discussions in the past on one-on-one, talked to you all about it, but where the plan is at now, and then request that perhaps you consider part of that 1 cent sales tax to help the capital needs in the future of the hospital. And the two particular things we want to point out in that, that relate to our relationship. And that's the first slide up there. The second slide is our comparative income statement. And again, on several occasions we've talked to you all individually, but we wanted to go back and kind of show you what's happened over the years. Since 2015, all the patient revenue and other revenue went from $64 million down to 63, down to 60, down to 58, down to 55. And there are multiple issues that have caused that. There have been some declines in service, some limitations in service, but the major has been related to reimbursement either by Medicare, Medicaid significantly, and the other insurers, which have moved away from classical payment to more managed care and other things like that. So you'll see that where we ended up in 19 was with a total of revenue of $55,786,000, which is significantly, or $12 million, almost $12 million lower than prior year. And obviously a big part of what affects us is the contractual adjustments by the insurances, the third-party payers like Medicaid, Medicare, and other payers. In 2015, there was $43,400,000, $41 million in 16, 17 was $39,600,000 and some thousand, then $38 million, and then $36 million in 2019. So basically a drop in those contractuals of about $6 million where the revenue had actually dropped above $11 million, almost $12 million. And reflective of that is the net patient revenue, where in 2015 it was $23,646,000, in 16, $21,993,000, 17 was $20,403,000, 18 was $19,870,000, and then $19,142,000. So again, a drop of about $4 million over that time frame, which is a little, it shows you the difference between what our charges are and revenue. That drop was $4 million. Our operating expenses, if you look at it, were $26 million and change, and 15, $24 million and change. 17 was $22 million. 18 was 21 and a half, a little over half a million, and right at $21 million. So we've actually reduced in those 5 years nearly $5 million in operating expenses. So we've significantly gone down and really ahead of the curve of what the reimbursement has dropped. The losses are fairly staggering. I made operating losses were $2.5 million. 2.1, right at 2 million, 1.6, almost 1.7, and 1.8 in 19. So again, what's going on is continue to go on, and even if we go back into 14 and beyond that, those same things were happening. Medicaid and DSH are supplemental from the state and the federal government to offset Medicaid. And those funds have, as you see, were around 700, a little over 700, dropped down to 4, up to about 550,000, and down to 387. That amount of money doesn't really supplement the difference between Medicaid and what it costs us. For example, I pulled some data from 17, which was clear, and in Medicaid, we were paid $430,000 in traditional Medicaid. Medicaid managed care was $2.5 million. The cost of providing care, I'm sorry, was $429 million. Medicaid managed care was 2.5 million, almost $1 million, $995,000 in Medicare, Medicaid eligible, where they have Medicare, but Medicaid steps in as an eligibility to provide funds. And then the uninsured in that category was 2.4 million, 5 million, or $614,000. All the payments received in 17 to cover that cost of care, that's not charges, which was 6.4 million, we received $2.9 million in that. So 3.4 million of that was unreimbursed. And that's cash, $3 million in cash that it cost a hospital to provide care to the traditional Medicaid, the Medicaid managed care, the Medicare and Medicaid eligible and uninsured. That's a lot of money when your total net revenues were only running, you know, back in 17 only ran $20 million. So that was, you know, $3 million out of 20 million cash that was taken out. And that's consistently been the same moving forward. Go on here. So we talked about the Medicaid dish. We do get the $450,000 support from Taylor County for EMS. And grants and contributions, you see, is virtually none. So the total non-operating revenue was in the 1.1, down to 801. It dropped down to $841,000 in unaudited for 19, which was June 1st of 18 to May 31st of 2019. And then when you get to that bottom line in yellow, when you see that what the loss of non-operating was almost 1.4, 900,000, 1.1 million, 666,000, and 968,000 this last year was the loss. A little bit of Medicare EHR, which is the electronic medical records, that really came into play those first 2 years in 15 and 16 and in 14, but now it's virtually nothing to maintain the electronic medical record. And loss before Medicaid recovery, as you'll see, and loss of Medicaid recovery is something I'll talk about in 218, which was unique, was 873,000, 666,000, 1 million in 17, 602,000 in 18, and 942,000 in 19. In 2018, we received $1 million, $1,009,000 from Medicaid, which was a recruitment of what was owed to the hospital after an audit between 2005 and 2015. So that $1 million really covered 10 years of amount. The way we received it, we couldn't really allocate it back. It was just a lump sum that went in. And so that's why you've seen 18 Medicaid recovery, which shows that there actually, in 2018, there was the $400,000 profit. It wasn't. The loss was really $602,000. This just was recoupment of money that went all the way back to 15. You'll see that if I go back to 15, the loss in 15 was 873, 666, 1 million in 17. It shows the 404 in 18, which is really 602,000. And then the unaudited is 942,000. I'd also like to point out that since during these years, as part of the agreement with TMH, what TMH has contributed, which is cash to us, in 15, they contributed 447,000. In 16, it was 333,000. 17, it was 521,000. And then in 18, it was 288,000. And that's based off that loss before the Medicaid line up there. And then as it stands right now, those numbers have been run, but it probably will be in the 400,000 or over 400,000 would probably be the contribution from TMH to the hospital.
And this was 2019?
2019. We don't know. There's a formula that we worked through with TMNH, and that number comes up. For instance, in 18...
That comes after August.
Yes, the audit financial statement roughly is half of the audit loss.
Right.
And you can estimate it that number.
And that's like a check there, right?
That's a check.
That's a cash infusion from operating revenue from TMH as a result of the agreement we negotiated with.
We don't know what that number would be yet. The next page, yes, next page. Right page. Next is relating to, we'll relate back to the detailed five-year capital plan that I handed out to you. I'm just going to talk a little bit about that. In 2000, currently, right now, you have, I think it's right at $328,000, which you have allotted for us to replace the current chiller. We're in the last bit of getting that out to bid. Milan and her staff have worked really hard with us trying to work through and make sure we get everything we could, get the bid or the document together as much to be very specific about it. Mm-hmm. And so that should be moving forward here relatively quickly. In 2020, which is the upcoming year, that capital budget, which is a little over three pages, is $2,175,900. So that's a significant amount of money. The next year, if we were to be able to buy everything in 2020, which is impossible, we would really require another $1,150,000 to begin to replace the equipment that we think is at a term or technologically not. It's usable, but it's behind the curve, and some of that is almost too expensive to even kind of keep in place with repairs. In 2012, it will be $1,583,000. And if everything went well, 2023 would drop down, as we see it today, to about $447,000, meaning we would have replaced most of the major capital medical and other equipment in the hospital. What I'd like to point out here is that in this particular budget, if we go back and look, the major items right now are like PAT 15s, which are the defibrillators that people are shocked with when they have cardiac arrest. What's interesting in healthcare, most of these manufacturers set lifespans for those. LifePak 15s, which we have, are coming to the end of their life actually within 3 or 4 months. What that means is they no longer really manufacture replacement parts, so repairs become very hard to do. One of the things they're doing is no longer manufacturing the batteries, which are very important, which last about a year, which are the key to what's going on. Those are $30,000 a piece. What I'll get to in a minute is we believe our need, which is an important need, is about 8 of those this year to replace in various areas, including on the ambulances. Those are a bit older.
It's my heart, $30,000 in margin.
Right. So, if you go through that list, I mean, you'll see that there are significant pieces of equipment in there. One of the things that we worry about, we have some of the old autoclaves from the other hospital, and the one that was put in 13 years ago was fairly archaic. And we, if you see those notes, Norma's in tapping on it, and pounding on it, and doing bows, and talking to the sterilizer companies, and so that's a major one we'll also see in the future. We do hope that on OR lighting, TMH has built their new surgical center. And especially it's almost a hospital in and of itself, the Munchen Center. We're going to get a chance to go in and look at and perhaps choose some lights out of their their surgery center, which I think has 18 or 27 rooms or something like that. Try to find some that are relatively new and replace ours with those, and that'll be at no cost other than will cost us to have them put in. So we are working with them on that. One of the things we currently are looking at, and this may be in the current year, we're hoping would be a lease for a new 3D mammo, which is the current state of the art in mammography. And we lost a lot of mammo business, which means our women are not staying in town because the radiologists are basically saying we want 3D mammo, we don't want the plain film mammo. We're currently negotiating a lease contract for that, and hopefully we'll be able to bring that to fruition. If you have any questions, when we get done, I'll kind of answer those. So, you know, one of our big issues is not only are we unable to cover cash flow on our operational, we have not had any money in the last 5-6 years really to have replacing pieces of capital equipment that have aged or technologically not sound. So for the next one, we consider these to be two of the top priorities. And before anybody asked me, ambulances, I did go out and look for grants last year, and they're just not available. I currently serve on the Emergency Management Services Advisory Board on the state, which is the group, the part of the state that handles EMS and all theirs. And last year I had a conversation with the administrator of that, and they said basically the state is no longer funding money towards ambulances. They have determined that that's the responsibility of the municipalities, the counties, and that they're moving towards the new technology and the new things and trying to help the services advance in the technology area, not the basic ambulances. I think I've talked to you all, a few of you before, that we have the ambulance that you helped us get with the grant in 2016. That currently has probably about 130,000 miles on it. We took our own funds two and a half years ago after I got here, and we did have one of the 2011 350s, had the full drivetrain rebuilt completely. It ended up costing us a little over $28,000 to do that. We just took another one of the 2011s and had the engine rebuilt, but not the full drivetrain back in with transmission and all that. And we spent nearly $18,000, and then afterwards we have a couple other things that have done. So they are somewhat sound, but still not sound. So we, right now, with the lifespan of ambulances, and you look, I've gone out and kind of surveyed that and talked to some directors, that typically most services are looking, like a county service like ours that has a lot of miles, are looking about every 3 years that ambulance is really reaching its lifespan because of the volume of miles on it and the way they're driven. Unlike ambulances in the city, they're 45 or 50. You know, when we do a transport, we're doing 60, 70, 80, depending on what we're doing. So they're tough miles on the ambulances. So we are really in the hole when it comes to ambulances. Right now, our 2016 has an electric quirk. We have a mechanic that's come in from Madison, who works on there, he's getting with the company that built the ambulance, because we've got all kinds of little strange things happen electrically, and that's a fairly consistent problem with them because the technology is there. So life packs are a big thing, and ambulances are a big thing. And even when we move forward as far as the ambulance service, there are items in that particular area that we are really behind technologically when it comes to what's happening in the bigger services. Obviously, we can't keep up with them. But BiPAP and the use of it is changing, and our machines are getting aged and out. And then, we've got all the stretchers. And the big thing, as Malcolm pointed out, if he had a heart attack, he'd like to have the best equipment. The new technology, and actually this was discussed at the last meeting, was automated compression, meaning what they first called thumpers, and they've advanced two or three times, is that the likelihood of life, if you have a heart attack and you're in arrest, the use of the automated compression greatly increases the probability of you surviving to get to the hospital and surviving the COVID in the hospital. In fact, they pointed out that in one case, somebody had been kept on the thumper for 6 hours and came back out and was fine. And there's another documented case of like 17, 18 hours. Those are in big medical centers, and they're doing lots of other things. But it points to the fact that is probably one of the big things is consistent compression. And truth of it, when you talk to the paramedics and that, typically after 2 minutes of giving compression, the whoever is doing it is not doing the quality of compression that they were before, because they're getting tired. It's quite hard to do. So with that, I would end the last slide, which is about why we're really here, is having you seriously consider providing us at least enough funds to look at those two particular items that we're seriously concerned about. I know that maybe the possibility exists on leases. I know that recently you all looked at leasing, and we've done a little bit of investigation about it, but haven't really gone very far, because we can't really afford the leasing costs on a monthly basis on the ambulances. So with that, I would try to answer any questions.
Your first slide.
Sure.
No, just go through some 17, 18, 19.
Yes.
We're showing $1,042,000 loss. How are we surviving that with that loss?
We're basically surviving on cash flow.
We're surviving, of course, $500,000.
Yeah, $500,000.
PMH. If we did not have that money for PMH, where would we be?
And the others just
the doors. Where we would be is the doors would either be closed, or somebody would have to come up with cash.
Right.
Now, what we're doing is we're floating our accounts payable until we get TMH money, really. What, if you go to 18, it's showing a $407,000 loss. And it,
what's up on the gain? But that's with Medicaid.
Well, okay, forget. Okay, just forget that one then. In 819, we're showing a $942,000 loss. Mm-hmm. How have we been able to cover that loss?
Mm-hmm. Well, part of it was TMH, because we
with the $1 million that we unexpectedly received.
And then TMH just funds us.
And TMH.
We're living hand to mouth.
I don't know that anybody really understands what the picture is. I really don't.
What is
one payroll? How much cash?
It's over three. It depends on the week, but it's right around $300,000 a month.
And how much cash have we got today? or say at the end of May.
Right? Well, right, I think this morning I saw we have 207,000 in our cash account. We have a little over 100,000 in the day fund, which is for specific emergency items that we have to look at, and about 60,000 or 70,000, I think, in what was reserved in cash. That may be off a little bit.
One little hiccup. Mm-hmm. Medicare payment?
You can't pay payroll. Something.
Yeah. Before I let you speak, there's something I want to say. I think everybody agrees that we need a hospital here.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You're a business, just like we're a business. And everybody that walks through your door is a customer. Year after year after year, decade after decade, we hear the same thing. We see the same picture. If you have a business plan that's not working, it seems to me like you need a new business plan. And I don't know what you've done, if you've gone out and tried to get help to develop a business plan that may work, but whatever you've done is not working. And you have to ask yourself, why is this not working? Why are so many people from Taylor County bypassing your hospital and going to Tallahassee? Or they're going to Gainesville? Now, there's a reason for that. You just have to identify, what is that reason? Because if you don't have heads and beds out there, yeah, your revenue, and I look at your numbers here, you got to have heads and beds. So you got to figure out why you don't have heads and beds. You got to have a business plan. For me, I need to see a business plan that's going to work. I'm tired of seeing the same thing time and time and time again from y'all without a plan of how you're going to fix it. It's always gloom and doom, but it's never, okay, we've reached out and we're working on a business plan. This is what we're going to do. We're going to figure out, is it customer service while we don't have patients? What is the reason our hospital is not full? Why is it our census is very low? That's a question for y'all. I can't answer that. But until you can figure that out and come out with a business plan, I have reservations about what you're asking for.
Well, one of the reasons is bringing in Alliant and working with us on trying to help develop that. I'm going to let Ken talk
about that. Okay. First of all, thanks. It's great to be here with you guys, and y'all have been incredibly supportive of this hospital for years and years, and I appreciate that. I know the residents of Taylor County appreciate that. This is a great commission, and I'm telling you straight up, the board of directors of this hospital is one of the best that this county has seen in many, 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 many years. In spite of that, we cut expenses about $6 million. Our revenue has dropped faster than our expense cuts, and it's primarily due to legislative changes and changes in reimbursement from third-party payers, Blue Cross, Humana, and the like. Those are factors that you nor I have any control over. Slave to that is a decrease in the number of practitioners locally, which we've been working real hard to fix, and have had very good success that we have attracted a couple of physicians. Until we can turn that around and bring physicians in here that are willing to practice here, that the community is comfortable with, we're going to continue to struggle. This is what I want you all to understand. We're working really, really, really hard out there to keep this place open. It is a struggle. We live, as Bill pointed out, from hand to mouth on cash flow. That's all we've got. And to the extent that we can shepherd that and keep the doors open, that's what we're doing. But it's one hiccup, and we're in trouble. We're in real, real trouble. Thanks to TMH, we've extended our longevity to some extent. Your concern, aside from the fact that you want to see the hospital stay open as much as I do, your commitment is to sustain the capital resources of the hospital, because you put very little into that hospital in the way of operating revenue. Some, but not a lot. Our operating revenue springs from our operations primarily, and what we see from TMH. We look to y'all for help with keeping the equipment functioning in the hospital open from that point of view. Ambulances are a big part of that. Chillers are a big part of that. Boilers are a big part of that. In fact, that's what it's all about. We need your help in creating and sustaining a capital budget. And we're working like the Dickens, creating an operating budget that will ultimately lead to a level bottom line and a positive bottom line. As Tom mentioned, we have a relationship with Alliant that we took on board back in May. There are some changes that we're implementing as a result of that we hope to see some significant increases in revenue streams from. Without any additional cash requirements, they've got some good ideas. And working together with input from staff, because hospital employees have good ideas too, we're parlaying that into new programs to bring that revenue up with new revenue streams. It's a process. We're working hard to make that happen. I'll give you detail, but not in this meeting. We'll sit down one-on-one and I'll show you exactly the things that we are attempting to implement, and I think with some success. But from your point of view, we need your support in keeping the capital side of this operational function, because we have no way of doing it. We're simply not generating revenue to do that. And without it, no amount of operating revenue is going to sustain us. If the boilers fail, or the chillers fail, or the nurse call system fails, or the ambulances break down on the road and can't provide EMS services, those we look to you to help us sustain. That's what you can do.
Madam Chair, may I talk just a little bit?
Sure.
I'll probably ramble a little. I appreciate Commissioner Beagle and her comments that we probably need to take a good, close, hard look at our business plan. And we brought on Alliance. Is it Alliance?
Alliance.
And I look for them to help you in this effort. But as you pointed out, while we're making these improvements in our business plan, it may take, you're not going to do it 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. We still need to keep the doors of the hospital open. We need to keep the ambulances running. You need some infrastructure material. Which brings me to my point. Back in the prior administrator's time, when this hospital was paid off with the 1 cent sales tax, you got to keep a little portion of that, which you're going to spend on the chiller. There was this idea that we captured and divide that 1 cent sales tax in four pots. And before it got dry, the sheriff got one of the 25%, one of the pots, one of the 1 cent sales tax money. I wanted to refresh me. The board was keeping one of those pots in escrow in case we had to build a new jail or some big capital.
The concept, The concept that was presented was 25% for the sheriff's office, 25% for the hospital.
That's the part that I'm getting to.
Right, okay. 25% for board infrastructure, I believe, and 25% for a building fund.
Okay.
That was from what I recall of the concept.
We didn't finalize this. No, we did have some prior discussion, and our plan was to allocate, if I recall, 25%, the same as the sheriff, to go to the hospital. And if my recollection is that 25% would meet your needs as far as buying the ambulance, what's 25% of the sales tax revenue?
25% that I'm estimating is $470,750.
So if you had $470,000, that could buy us a little time and buy some equipment.
It could
get two new ambulances.
Yes.
The equipment that you need on that.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it would all go to new ambulances because we have.
You may want to rebuild what you got.
It would have to go towards capital, though.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's all. That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah. And when we continued this 1 cent sales tax, it was stipulated, and I think Bill, you were the one who suggested that we have this tied to capital. And what you've got to me identified is a capital need.
Absolutely.
Now, what, as I'm just speaking as one commissioner, what do we need to do to free up, for better, lack of a better term, that 25% for DMH? We all sit here and we talk. We need a hospital. We can't survive without a hospital. It's essential that any community our size has a good hospital and a good school system. In good county government, in good law enforcement.
In good law enforcement.
You all are a part of this, integral part of this community. And I support 25%, but I can't do it by myself. And I say all that just to open up some discussion.
Well, yes. That's something that we're going to have to discuss in a regular board meeting, and it would have to be voted on. And I know that, and I don't know about our fire department, but I know that we have great needs in our fire department, and we have an obligation for fire protection also. So it's just something I don't think that we could decide today.
If you're trying to use the 1 cent sales tax as a revenue stream to support all of that stuff, you're shooting a moving target that you'll never
get. We have to provide fire service protection, just like, you know, we have to provide many other things. That's just as essential as anything else.
Totally,
so it's a balancing act with us.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got their hand out, and we want to put as much in your hand as we can, but we have other responsibilities.
Sure.
Also. But you can have all the best equipment in the world out there, and if you don't have patients, and that's what y'all's problem is, one of them, you got to figure out how you're going to get heads and beds out there.
Physicians.
You haven't been successful so far.
Physicians. If we get physicians in this community, it will be.
And I can tell you for 30 years that I know of, recruitment of physicians has been going on. How many have you got and how many have you kept? It's very difficult to get them.
It's very difficult.
And I don't know how you solve that problem, because I don't think that's going to work either.
I've talked to directors of residency programs in several locations. Tom has too. And all those directors will tell you today, and this is horrifying to me, every one of those residents coming out of the residency program who are ready to start practice, every one of them are looking for signing bonuses. They're looking for contracts in excess of $200,000 a year. They're looking for a big check. There's the interest in and social commitment to provide healthcare services by practitioners has devolved. And they're looking for making as much money as they can.
And I remember when we were still at the old hospital, when we were a little healthier with our finances then. And I remember they even offered to pay off medical school for some of these physicians, and they couldn't even get them to come with that.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a fool's game. I've been in this business for a long time, and I have seen time after time after time communities footing the bill to send kids to med school. It never pans out.
Well, we tried
never.
To pay the ones that already had gone to medical school. They were offered, we'll pay off your debt to come here, and they wouldn't come. So I'm just saying, I know it's a problem to get them.
I have recruited one physician in my lifetime by doing that, and you know how I did it? I paid his debt off that he had accrued from another county to get him to come to my county. Now, that took that county off the hook, but it was still money out of pocket for our facility. You know, recruiting physicians is difficult. It's not impossible. And there are residents out there finishing their third and fourth and fifth years that are looking for small little practices where they can be physicians.
And, Ken, you still have to address the problem of people that are bypassing this hospital to go somewhere else for an emergency room visit. And you got to figure out, why is that? Why is that people are bypassing this hospital? Is it your customer service? Is it your level of care? What? I don't know. But
yeah.
What is it?
Yeah. I doubt that it's level of care. It's level of understanding. It's not understanding what the level of care is, and it's believing the rumor mills that fly around. This hospital provides extremely good care, and has state-of-the-art equipment and supplemental drugs.
That's one of the issues we looked at last year, and we're looking at it again, and Alliance is going to assist us in that, is basically on the physician component and trying to recruit some new physicians in here. What we faced was when we went out and looked that based on what we get reimbursed and what the cost of moving forward was nearly $500,000 more. So we're trying to balance that and figure out how we do that. In fact, I ran some numbers today to look at the ER as it is, and I think maybe between the physician component and the hospital component, based on 17 cents on the dollar, we probably made, and that was over $3.5 million, we probably made $40,000. So it's one of those areas that just doesn't cover its expense, but we are definitely looking to try to figure out how to fix that.
Right. And I don't want anybody here to misunderstand my candor. We need a hospital here, and we need a successful hospital here, and that's what I want. And I think if you talk to anybody, they would agree. We need it so we can service our people. We need it for economic development purposes. We need the hospital, but something is wrong.
I won't deny that there's been a lot of chatter in the social media about the hospital.
Negative chatter.
There has been. There's also been a lot of very positive chatter in the social media with regard to this hospital and its emergency room. This hospital, compared to other hospitals in similar circumstances, this hospital provides extremely good service.
I can attest to that.
I'm not disagreeing, Ken, but
something is wrong. It is.
And that's what, I don't know what it is, but I want our hospital, I want to support our hospital. We need our hospital.
Yes.
And if we can figure out how to fix it, that's what we need to do.
That's what we're working on, and that's what Alliant brings to the table, and it clearly is what TMH has brought to the table with their support. Yeah, we're on the right track. I've been on this board now for, this is my last year, it's my ninth year.
Come on, we need you.
I'm climbing out, so I got to step aside.
Say something that I've talked to a lot of different county commissioners in a small county, and they all got the same issue. But they're lost little as y'all got.
Yeah.
It's not, it didn't just start here. It's in all small counties.
Right.
There's just not the revenue. People use an emergency room and never pay the bill.
Yeah.
50% of the people go to the emergency room never pay their bill.
And that's
$1.
That's a significant problem.
Really is an issue.
Yeah.
But as far as I'm concerned, I'll back y'all whatever it takes to keep the hospital going.
I'll tell you something. This hospital, last year, last year we gave, $7 million in $5 million in charity back to this community in unpaid health care.
And that's a cost, not a charge.
That's not charges. That's at cost. That's a significant supplement from your hospital to your constituent.
It is. And if you could get more of your people with good insurance that would stop at this hospital, because a lot of what you have are the non-paid.
I wish I could say there was such a thing as good insurance, but let me tell you.
But what. I mean, insurance versus no insurance, and you go out there because you don't go to a doctor, you use that as your health care facility.
But when insurance companies have decided that they can play the same game that Medicare and Medicaid has done and negotiate contractual adjustments to the degree that Medicare and Medicaid hasn't cut our revenue streams the way they have, and by forcing patients to go to reference labs and not use our outpatient services, it's killed. We've lost millions of dollars in outpatient revenue because of that one factor alone, because carriers require their beneficiaries to go to reference labs for their lab work.
Well,
when they can come right here.
We and Pam came to me one time because we were lab corps, and
couldn't
even collect for them, which
we're driving
to
Tallahassee to get lab
work. We've lost probably every year about $500,000 in revenue as a result of the contractual arrangement with the insurance companies for LabCorp and Quest. And we actually draw for Quest. We tried to draw for LabCorp, but they're just uncooperative. Yeah. And we, you know, for really no cost, for a convenience, like you said, when you show that we're supporting the people here that would have to draw.
When you have friends in there.
You've several times about different things, not just LabCorp, but bottom line, we need our hospital.
Yeah.
We need our hospital to be successful.
Yep.
And I'm for the hospital, but I want to see a good business plan. I want to see this thing turn around. Bill?
Alliance brought a business plan, started a business plan at the last board meeting.
Okay.
They are accepting input from employees and anyone else.
Super.
And I don't doubt that it won't be part of that plan, but they are developing a plan.
Well, that's great. That's great.
And they have in the process right now of implementing part of it already before we get the plan completed.
There are a number of things, a number of services that we've not really had the experience to provide that they're looking at as alternatives because of their resources and who they work with in other areas.
But that makes me feel better.
Yes.
I'm glad to hear that.
That's encouraging.
Yes.
Without assistance from the board on the capital purchases, my fear is, individually, and I'm going to be in the minority, I know that, but right today, they're talking about leasing a piece of equipment, a piece of mammogram. The cost today of the present equipment is about $7,500 a month, maintenance contract.
The lease.
No, maintenance contract. How about cash? There's a maintenance contract.
Oh, the current.
The county owns that piece of equipment.
You mean the current piece of equipment?
So, presently, we're paying maintenance contract on piece of equipment. When they go through with this lease, what they're going to have is a maintenance contract and cost of the lease. If they continue down that track, those doors are going to close quicker. If the county doesn't step in, kept up assisting with capital purchases.
Yes.
This young charity.
Commissioner Page has the floor.
Maybe I don't want to cut you off now.
Oh.
Now, Commissioner Fiegel and I have developed a great relationship while we've been on this board. We don't agree on everything in the world. We don't agree totally on the topic. Our heart's in the right place. You brought up, Commissioner, we have needs other than Doctors Memorial Hospital for the 1 cent sales tax. And I agree, and you mentioned the fire department. Now, correct me, Lord, if I'm wrong, but most of the needs that our fire services needs are not capital needs. They're personnel.
Yes, sir.
And you can't use that 1 cent sales tax for personnel.
There are some needs identified from the fire department that are in your capital improvement.
Right.
And then I will also remind you that we are paying the fire truck lease with 1 cent sales tax.
That's good. What I'm saying is, and what I'm getting at, I think there's enough money there in the 25%. You may have to take a little less than 25%, but we can accommodate both.
Yeah, I know y'all talked about, and I think that, I don't know if you passed it, but y'all discussed taking a portion of that 1 cent sales tax and using it to pay leases on vehicles that the county operates.
Yeah,
well, ambulances are vehicles too.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're going to save money by leasing.
But anyway, Commissioner, I appreciate you. And I appreciate your position, and I thank you for that. The bottom line is, you're just like I am. You're going to keep the doors of the hospital open.
Especially
at my age, I need the doors of the hospital open.
That's right.
Bill and I are at odds often because we debate, we disagree, and we agree. Bill brings a tremendous amount of positive things to our board.
So we agree on all the debate, and we agree.
I'm saying that in public.
And we don't agree on everything. We try to work it out so we don't get along. That's what it's all about.
And, you know, we have different ideas, but at the end of the day, we work very well together. At the end of the day, I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't support the hospital.
Absolutely.
And want what's best for the hospital. And that's the only reason that I bring up some of the things I was quite candid about, is because I want our hospital to be successful for everybody. So don't get me wrong that I'm anti-hospital. I am not anti-hospital. I want what's best for our hospital, and I want our hospital, the doors, to remain open.
I think
we're going to help you all that we can. I can tell you that.
One thing you need to remember in the back of your mind, that every time a piece of this capital equipment needs fixing because the transmission falls out or something like that, that comes out of operating revenue. That come out of capital. Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to look at how we use that funding to see if we can extend the money that's there, extend the coverage of that to maintaining the capital equipment.
Are you referring to the 1 cent, the discretionary sales tax?
Yeah.
So the restrictions that we have on that are not only by our own ordinance, but Danielle, is there a...
I'd have to look and see. I'm just familiar with the ordinance, and that's for capital and capital improvements.
Right. But even if we changed our ordinance, would we be able to use that funding for anything other than capital?
I don't think so, but I'll look.
Okay,
I'll look.
You can, well, let me drop this little day. You just got $300,000 in newfound cash to sell that monster. What about escrowing that into a fund just to cover repair and relieve the drain on our operating revenue to that extent for as long as it lasts? Unless you've got some other plans for it on it.
That's something that we'll have to discuss.
Puts us even closer to that doomsday scenario that Bill thinks.
You can change that ordinance, but you all committed to the population of this county that it was going to be used for capital outlay. If you change that ordinance and use it for operating expenses, the line will go to the door.
I'm not going to do that because you're absolutely right of what we committed to do. I'm not for changing
it. Well, so
but what you can do,
I'm not a
fan of leases because I don't like to pay that high price for it. All you got to do is borrow it tax-free for whoever, obligate sales tax or collateralize it with the sales tax and move on.
Listen, I want to conclude this,
because
we've heard you. I appreciate y'all being here. And I want to tell each one of y'all personally that spend your time, and I know you take your personal time to serve on this board. And I think each one of y'all, your heart is in it. You're trying to do what's right for our hospital. I appreciate that. I appreciate what y'all do. I know your pay is not very high for doing that. But... And we're committed, and we're gonna do all that we can, okay? We want the hospital to be successful. We want the best that we can have, and we're gonna do something. We just don't know right now what it's gonna be. You know, everybody wants a little piece of the money that's coming, and this, you know. So we're gonna do the very best we can, and I appreciate y'all being here. Appreciate your patience. And
I think there are very few residents in this county that would say differently. Everybody in this county would love to have health care that they can rely on, health care that they can access, health care they can trust. That's what we all want.
That's right.
And that's what we're all working
for. We're in it together.
Yes,
we are definitely in it together.
And I would offer, just like Jim has been out and he's walked around and looked at a lot of equipment and stuff.
He's taken a number of field trips with us, which is good.
And I've said that to Pam the other day. So any of you that would like to come out, we'll take you around and kind of show you, you know, what the equipment is, what's aging, and the rest of it, so that you have a better idea. and answer, you know, call me anytime, and I'll try to answer any questions you have. And if you have a complaint, call me, call Mary. You know, we try to deal with all of those. So I do appreciate you giving us the time and the consideration.
I'd like to say one other
yes,
thing.
Sir.
We appreciate these folks who have come today to support the hospital. And they said I had to come.
Yes.
May I?
And thank y'all all for coming. Yes.
My hat's off to you. And most of you out there don't have to use field kind of hospital. You can use the hospital somewhere else because you're probably in that position where you can leave this town. But I've sat out there in that emergency room many days, many nights. The people that cannot afford to go to the next county. And I watch people from other counties that come around this place, come here to Perry. There's a reason they come, because others close their doors to them. I'm telling you that I do support you. My hat's off to you for your due diligence and begging us to do something for those people that can't afford themselves. Now, with that said, we don't want to belabor the time, the point. Let somebody else talk, but my hat is off to you. Okay? The problem you've got is what Jim said. All counties, all small counties have the same problem. If you don't believe it, ask them and talk to them, and I do that all the time. I don't know all of your problems out there, but your capital outlay, we do need to check that out. I had an experience. My brother had cancer about 2 years ago. He was on the way to Gainesville. The ambulance broke down in Cross City. They had to call another ambulance to come get it and carry him on in the game. Now, we can... Because we're in a position to help and don't help, it's going to be charged to us.
Amen.
So we need to do the best we can. There are some things that we're doing, we probably get by and do the best with others. But health care, if you don't have good health care, that means you're going to die. And when you're dead, you don't need no health care. You need the Lord then. On that day to come, the day of the rapture. Okay? So we're going to do the best we can while I'm here. I'm going to join that force that says we need to do something with this hospital.
Thank you.
I don't mind being off.
I wanted to say, just recently we agreed to lease some dump trucks and some trash trucks, and we can lease them cheaper than we can really keep them up and replace the transmission. We can actually lease a dump truck for what it costs to replace a transmission in one for a whole year. Mm-hmm. Have y'all researched leasing around?
We looked a little bit at it, but not really in depth. Just got a couple little bits of information from different places. We hadn't really pursued it because we also really didn't have the cash flow to handle some of those leases. But,
I mean,
we have calls that we can have some meetings scheduled with supposed to do that very thing.
Well, I've contacted as many people as I could to see where that's going to go, because we've seen it's a no-brainer to rent one for a year, a brand new dump truck, when it costs that same amount to buy a transmission for a little while. So,
I don't know if that same opportunity is available on the ambulance business, but we'll certainly find out.
Tom and I talked about that last week at the chamber meeting, because I shared with him that we had been successful in obtaining board approval, and our attorney approved, and we had actually gone through the entire process and were successful in getting approval for some leases. And
so we're going to start exploring and ask Zach, our director, just give a few phone calls to get some ideas about what's out there.
Right.
I think it's a little bit different than having...
I don't disagree.
But we are going to look at that and see what is available out there.
Right.
Try to do some comparisons about cost of purchase and long-term upkeep.
I'm in an ambulance that broke down and waited about asking myself. I know the feeling. You know, you don't want a piece of junk ambulance. You know.
You got a fire Vermont, did you?
I got to Vermont. And they bring ambulance out of Monticello to pick me up.
I want
to
hit that barrier.
Thank the Lord, I wasn't having a heart attack. I thought I was having one, but I was dehydrated. I made it to Tallahassee, but, you know, I was about ready to throw me a ride. today. We don't appreciate y'all, and thank you.
We appreciate it.
And we work with you everywhere we can.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you for giving us so much time.
Thanks.
Come on over.